Winter, wrote Robert Byrne, is nature's way of saying, up yours. Well, I don't know about that. Up here in the Great White North this time of year, here's something romantic we say to our loved ones. I could stare forever into that tiny opening between your winter hat and scarf. Well, hi. Wow. Great to be here with you. And thanks for hanging out with me for the next 4 hours on a cold, stormy February evening or morning. If you're in the Northeast or the Midwest, it's one of those nights best spent indoors, huddled around the radio, the romantic, warm radio. My name is Richard Serrett, and Coast to Coast is coming to you live from Toronto. And I arrived at our shiny steel and glass studios of Coast's Toronto affiliate Talk Radio AM 640 and via the Don Valley Expressway. Snow-covered and lightly traveled, which was good. Here's the great thing about winter. It brings Canadians and Americans closer together. Here's what I mean. I know down there you measure temperature in degrees Fahrenheit, and we measure temperature in degrees Celsius. But it's so cold here in Toronto right now, and maybe where you are, Fahrenheit, Celsius, it doesn't matter. It's just plain cold. The kind of cold where your eyelashes start to stick together. I got stuck behind a salt truck for about 5 kilometers on the way down to the studio, so I'll be hitting the car wash tomorrow morning. But the question is, will I be able to get home? The forecast is calling for freezing rain in the next couple of hours, which means my route home, the Don Valley Expressway, will become the world's longest skating rink. And that's okay. If I have to stay here all night, that's 4 hours from now. In the meantime, I have your wonderful company and some great conversation to take us into the early morning. I'm not sure where you get your news, maybe television, the nightly network news, maybe NBC and Brian Williams, or maybe not. Maybe you get it from listening to Jimmy Fallon's monologue on The Tonight Show, but I'll tell you where I get a great deal of inspiration and information, and that's the In the News section at coasttocoastam.com. And I was reading recently a story posted on the Coast website, a story from The Telegraph in the UK. German engineers have created a machine which can take a physical object, scan it, and rebuild it in a new location. The machine scans small objects with a camera layer by layer as a milling machine slowly destroys it. By slicing the object into layers, it's possible to get a detailed view of the object, even including any hollow cavities. A detailed model is then encrypted and digitally transmitted over the internet to a second machine, which reconstructs it with a 3D printer. All of that complex work is hidden from the user, who only has to place an object into the sender unit, name a recipient, and press the relocate button. Now, if all this sounds somewhat familiar, then you're most likely a Trekkie, because it's effectively an early prototype for a Star Trek transporter. The group have called it Scotty, after the chief engineer on the Starship Enterprise, who Captain Kirk was regularly seen to order, beam me up. So the transporter from Star Trek is quickly becoming a reality. We already have the communicator from Star Trek, that would be called the cell phone and Bluetooth. So welcome to the age of accelerating change, where if you blink, you just might miss the future. So in hours 2, 3, and 4, we're going to tap into the future, and we'll discover that the future has already arrived. Dr. James Canton, PhD, is a renowned global futurist and the author of Future Smart, Managing the Game-Changing Trends That Will Transform Your World. And in the book, he illuminates the pivotal forces and global power shifts that everyone must understand to thrive in a rapidly changing landscape. He'll discuss in-depth changes coming in business, technology, the workforce, security, energy, medicine, and the environment. Keep the following in mind. 70% of the jobs that will be available in 2025 haven't been created yet. Nanotechnology, robotics, 3D printing, etc. A human lifespan of 150 years will not be unusual. Regenerative medicine will predict and prevent illness, rebuild brains and bodies. By 2025, medical advances will make it immoral not to use stem cells. But first, again, another story brought to my attention thanks to the coasttocoastam.com website. This one from the BBC. Headline, Terrifying Time Loop, The Man Trapped in Constant Deja Vu. Now, most of us know the feeling, that fleeting sensation that you have been somewhere or done something before when common sense tells you it's not possible. The term déjà vu translates literally from French as already seen. About two-thirds of us experience at least one déjà vu in our lifetime, yet very little is known about what causes it. And now we have this remarkable case. Scientists believe the extraordinary case of a 23-year-old British man with constant déjà vu may be triggered by anxiety. It's the first time such a link has been made. But what is déjà vu, and do we really know what causes it? Constant déjà vu in Hour One. Best-selling author Marie Jones, no stranger to Coast to Coast. So when you hear Marie discussing déjà vu, it's not a case of déjà vu. We've pressed her into service to discuss this remarkable story and asked her to dial back a few years to discuss the subject of her 2010 book, The Déjà Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time. The future. Déjà vu. If this all sounds familiar, then you must be in the right place at the right time. And to quote the great Bronx bard, Yankees catcher Yogi Berra, this is like déjà vu all over again. And the future, well, it's not what it used to be. Come on in from the cold. Pull up a stool and warm yourself by the fire. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. My name is Richard Serrett. According to research, about two-thirds of us experience at least one déjà vu in our lifetime, yet very little is known about what causes it. And this group of scientists from the UK, France, and Canada, who studied the strange case of the man with chronic déjà vu, think one possible cause of the phenomenon could be anxiety. The man's condition was so persistent, he avoided watching television, listening to the radio, God forfend, and reading newspapers because he felt he had encountered it all before. Dr. Chris Moulin, a cognitive neuropsychologist at the University of Bourgogne, who worked on the study, says the man had a history of depression and anxiety and had once taken the drug LSD whilst at university, but was otherwise completely healthy. This man was striking because he was young, otherwise aware, but completely traumatized by this constant sensation that his mind was playing tricks, he says. Frightening time loop. For minutes, sometimes even longer, the patient would feel that he was reliving experiences. He likened the frightening episodes to being in the psychological thriller film Donnie Darko. There was one instance where he went to get a haircut, and as he walked in, he got a feeling of déjà vu. Then he had a déjà vu of the déjà vu. He couldn't think of anything else, says Dr. Moulin. For 8 years, the man felt trapped in a time loop. The more distressed he became by the experience, the worse it seemed to get. What is déjà vu? What could possibly explain persistent déjà vu? Here to help us make sense of it all is Marie D. Jones, best-selling author, screenwriter, researcher, public speaker. She's the author of 2013 End of Days or A New Beginning, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. Science, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomenon, and Looking for God in All the Wrong Places, A Destiny Versus Choice, The Scientific and Spiritual Evidence Behind Fate and Free Will. And she also co-authored Super Volcano, The Catastrophic Event That Changed the Course of Human History, written with her father, geophysicist Dr. John M. Savino. 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomena, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences and Synchronicities, The Resonance Key, it goes on and on, but also The Deja Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time, which is what we're talking about here tonight. Marie Jones, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
And good to have you here.
It's a great subject, huh? Because everybody has had deja vu at least once. I think many of us have had it a lot.
Yes. Well, what do you make of this case? Have you ever heard of persistent or constant deja vu before?
Yeah, in fact, we did cover this case in the book, and Moulin's research into chronic deja vu and trying to understand whether it was something that was entirely related to extreme stress or anxiety or a misfire of the brain. But one thing that we found that was really interesting is that there's another researcher who found that deja vu often occurs in people more when they're relaxed during leisure time. So, you know, it really depends on who's doing the studies. But in this one case, it seems like the extreme anxiety may have been triggering the part of the brain that was creating this ongoing deja vu. And I think it just sounds like such an awful experience. I mean, to have it for a minute or 30 seconds is fine, but for it to go on for hours and hours, I think that would drive me mad.
Absolutely. I can't imagine. The question I would have, though, is does the anxiety fuel the deja vu, or does the constant or persistent deja vu fuel the anxiety? It becomes sort of an endless feedback loop.
Yeah, and you know, we do know the parts of the brain that are involved, and most of them are parts of the brain that are involved with both short and long-term memory and memory recall. But also the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that controls fear and fear responses, comes into play as well. So it may be that in this particular case, he had a much more active fear response. And I would think that maybe the deja vu was triggering it more rather than the anxiety starting it. Because, you know, a lot of us are stressed and experience a lot of anxiety. And we're not necessarily all having this happen. We all really do have similar brains, and we all have the same brain parts, the same brain functions. So it would seem to me that this was just such an anomaly that this one young man was going through, that the anxiety of knowing that he was going to keep having this experience probably kept, like you said, it was just a loop that he couldn't get out of. Also real interesting, too, that deja vu happens more to young people, and that as we get older and our memories begin to fail us, there's less and less deja vu reported. And
oh, that's interesting.
That is, yeah, you know, and it makes sense because obviously this is an anomaly of memory. But what Larry Flaxman, my co-author, and I found, and the people that we talked to, and I think anybody who has had deja vu feels like there's something more going on than just a memory glitch.
That was my next question, whether this is just some sort of a brain twitch, just like we get muscle spasms or eye twitches.
Right.
And I don't mean to be flippant here, you know, but is there something metaphysical, perhaps, going on here?
That's what is sort of coming into play. And when we talked about it in the book, too, a few years ago, but we were finding people that were willing to go out on a limb and say that maybe this is more of a paranormal experience than we think it is. We like to talk to it about or refer to it as a gateway experience. Deja vu is something that most people trivialize because we all have it, we all know what it is. And perhaps it's one of those gateway experiences that will, if we can do enough research on it and figure out what's going on and how it happens spontaneously, might lead us to some answers for other types of paranormal phenomena. But what's interesting is that this young man had experimented with LSD. Not at the time, but in his past. And we did an interview with Rick Strassman, Dr. Rick Strassman from University of Mexico.
Yes, yes.
Who's known for his work with DMT. And he even stated that he knew of some research that had been done with LSD where the subjects experienced greater deja vu. So that's interesting, too, to think that there are these drugs, hallucinogenics, that can trigger the parts of the brain that are necessary to have the experience. Here's the question, though. We can trigger deja vu in a clinical setting. It's being done all the time. It's been done. But these guys have not been able to explain why it happens to you when you're walking down the street or just out to lunch with a friend.
Right. Well,
what is it that triggers spontaneous deja vu?
Yeah, just because you can reproduce it in the lab. I remember a Swiss study where they stimulated a certain cortex in the brain and reproduced an out-of-body experience. But that doesn't necessarily discount a spontaneous OBE, or in this case, deja vu. Just because you can reproduce it artificially, if I can use that term in the lab, doesn't discount the real experience.
Yeah, what it does do and what it's really great for is helping us pinpoint the parts of the brain that are active when it happens. And so the next step, obviously, would be to find out, well, what is happening in the environment or physiologically when it happens spontaneously?
Well, it must be very difficult to study because for most of us, deja vu is such a fleeting, spontaneous thing. So to actually test it in the lab. So for someone who has persistent deja vu, this would be a researcher, someone who's studying deja vu, you know, this must be their dream come true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, there have been a number of studies that were involving other subjects. For example, there was one that was done on it was in 2005 on a obesity patient. And they wanted to stimulate a certain part of his brain that would suppress appetite. So it had nothing to do at all with deja vu. But what happened was he started to have deja vu experiences. So they said, whoa, okay. So we know that stimulating with electrodes this particular part of the brain will cause people to have deja vu. But those are accidents. Those are happy accidents. So, you know, it's sort of like you get these peripheral studies of deja vu that come out of memory studies or obesity studies or with Rick Strassman, DMT studies. So we get all of that information. Sure, we can put people on a stretcher and strap some electrodes to them and probably get them to have deja vu, especially if they're epileptics. That's a very important connection, too, because the epileptics, when they have a grand mal seizure, the same part of the brain that is highly active, the temporal region, is the part of the brain that's associated with deja vu and also with poltergeist activity, believe it or not.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we know all of that. But if you really want to get some good research, you've got to get people, you know, in by the hundreds. And here's the thing, if I'm walking down the street and I have deja vu, by the time I get to your lab, it's over.
Right.
Because it lasts on average, like, you know what, 30, well, they say 10 to 30 seconds is the average length of a deja vu experience. Could be a little shorter, could be a little longer. So really, unless you keep trying to stimulate it in a laboratory, you're still not going to figure out what it is that makes it happen to people when they're just out and about in their daily lives.
Well, I've heard through the years a number of theories as to trying to explain, scientists are trying to explain deja vu, and one of the most, I'm going to use the word, absurd theories I ever heard had to do with, scientists claim it had to do with the difference between the length of the optical nerve in the left eye and the right eye, and so that the visual information was coming into the brain a different speeds, you know, it'd be a nanosecond difference between the left and the right because of the difference between the optical nerve. And therefore, you were seeing something, but before you saw it, you thought you remembered it from before. But
That's absolutely
absurd because blind people have deja vu, don't they?
Absolutely, and so do people who can only see out of one eye. So that kind
there
of shot that theory down. But, you know, I mean, science is supposed to look at the more logical, common sense explanation. So obviously, this involves an issue with memory. So that's where the focus is. Is it a short-term memory recall glitch? Is it long-term, short-term memory getting their wires crossed? But again, it doesn't explain enough of the phenomenon that people report, and it also doesn't explain, again, how it happens spontaneously. Now, the real exciting part of this is when you start hearing people talking about the multiverse and parallel universes and alternate timelines. And is deja vu, this little trivial experience that we always brushed under the rug, oh, I'm having deja vu, big deal. Is this a glimpse of ourselves in a parallel universe?
Well, let's drill down on that when we come back, Marie, because that's fascinating. You know, I happen to believe that, you know, time is an illusion. The past, the present, the future, it's an illusion because we are linear thinking beings, and we need that in order to survive. But, well, let's discuss that. Marie Jones is my guest, and we are discussing deja vu right here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back. That's Audio Slave, and I Am the Highway. Great tune. We're talking with Marie Jones, author of Deja Vu, The Deja Vu Enigma, as we discuss this remarkable case of persistent deja vu. I've set up a hashtag for tonight's program. It's hashtag Richard C2C. C2C, of course, coast to coast. And would love to hear from you if you want to tweet me. I am the host of The Conspiracy Show up here in Toronto, emanating out of AM 740, our 50,000-watt clear channel. And we have about 30 affiliates in the United States. And the website, if you'd like to check us out, is richardserrett.com, richardserrett.com. This is a remarkable case we've been talking about, this persistent deja vu. And as I think we mentioned, that one idea is that deja vu is a sort of a brain twitch. I'm not buying that. I think there's something far more metaphysical involved here. And we'll get into that. More of my conversation with Marie Jones, co-author of The Deja Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time. I'm Richard Serrett. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett with you, along with Marie Jones, the co-author of The Deja Vu Enigma, A Journey Through the Anomalies of Mind, Memory, and Time. We're talking about this remarkable case of a 23-year-old with constant or persistent deja vu, which obviously causes him tremendous anxiety every time he turns on the radio or the TV. In fact, he avoids doing that or reading the paper. He has this overwhelming sensation that he's seen it all and heard it all. Well, in that regard, he's not unlike many 23-year-olds. He's seen it all, he's heard it all, isn't
there? With all.
Exactly. But my understanding is, I mean, brain scans, when they do brain scans, they're normal. I mean, in other words, it doesn't appear to be anything neurological. They're claiming, I say they're, the scientists are claiming it's psychological. Your thoughts?
I don't agree with that at all. You know, I mean, we do know that during deja vu, certain parts of the brain are more active than when the person is not experienced deja vu. And by the way, for listeners, deja vu isn't the only deja. You know, we have people that hear things. Deja entendu is
yes,
already heard. And there's, my favorite is jamais vu, which is getting the sensation that you should be familiar with something that you've never seen before. There's a whole host of different types of deja vu, but obviously the most prominent one is the sense that you've been in a certain situation. But we know that there are certain parts of the brain that are more active, just like there are certain parts of the brain that are more active when you're terrified, when you're in love, whatever. I think the problem is the disconnect is trying to figure out what causes deja vu. Again, when you're not in a laboratory hooked up to a bunch of electrodes that are stimulating the right parts of the brain, what is it that you're doing when you're out and about? One of the frustrating things about deja vu, too, that the scientific community tends to ignore are the experiences that are often attached to it. So, for example, the majority of people will have a simple deja vu experience, but there are a lot of people that report both past life recall or past life associations, And there is a smaller number of people who during deja vu have a precognitive vision that later, 3-4 weeks later, comes true. So,
ah, interesting.
What do you do with those cases?
Right, right. So Go ahead.
Go ahead. I want to hear.
We went to a family wedding down in New Jersey. And this is about a year before I logged on to what's the internet site where you can investigate your family tree?
Ancestry.com. Yeah.
Ancestry.com. So we're down in New Jersey on my wife's side, a family wedding, and we're driving through this little town. I think it was Randolph or something like that. And I'm looking around driving, and I got that you know, the tingle up the spine, the hairs on the nape of my neck standing up, and I was looking at these buildings, driving down Main Street, could have been, you know, anywhere USA, very quaint town, and I'm thinking, overwhelming sensation, my gosh, this place feels like home. This place feels so familiar. Right. And so we went to the wedding and just stuck with me all the way there and back. And sure enough, 6-8 months, whatever it was later, we got this free trial on Ancestry.com. I'm looking into our ancestry, and sure enough, on my mother's side, that's where my family came from, that particular part of New Jersey. So, I mean, was that deja vu, or was that a glimpse into a past life? I don't know.
My feeling is that, again, deja vu served as the gateway for you to have that sort of past life glimpse. And what I love about this article that we're discussing is the title says Terrifying Time Loop. There's a nice little clue in there as to what we might need to be looking at. The fact that we might be looking at more of a time anomaly than a brain anomaly.
I hear you, yeah.
And, you know, you said earlier, the human brain is built to process time in a linear fashion. And that, as you said, that's so that we can survive. We can get up in the morning and we can plan the events of our day and we can have a life and we can reproduce and keep the species going, which, of course, is our primary objective. But outside of the construct of the human brain, there's no such thing as linear time. So perhaps when we have deja vu, what we're doing is tapping into that landscape, that field, the grid, as Larry and I like to call it, where past, present, and future happens all at once. And you're tapping into that one moment where you're doing the same thing on another timeline, perhaps in another universe entirely. And you're locked in just for that very short period of time. And I know for a fact that when I have deja vu, which is often, that is what it feels like. It feels like a splitting, almost a splitting of conscious awareness, where mm-hmm. you are in two places at once. And there also is a precognitive element, too, because if you have deja vu during a discussion, aren't you able to anticipate the next thing the person is going to say before they say it? That's a very common element.
I've had that experience, yes, yes. I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends.
Yeah. I know what my friend Sally is going to say before she says it, and boom, there she says it. And that kind of stuff is hard to prove. It's anecdotal, it's personal, but it's happening. So I think the next grand step of deja vu research is going to have to look at the sort of quantum and theoretical physics aspect that we might actually be experiencing ourselves in these time loops or these time distortions or in another universe, in the multiverse, whatever you want to call it, where we're slipping out of the state that we're in now. I don't want to say we're slipping out of the conscious state, because that's another interesting aspect of deja vu. You're fully conscious and aware.
Right, right.
So,
is there a name for an experience, and it may be related to deja vu, I have a feeling that it is, where, and this is something that I'm finding now as I head on into the, you know, the second half of life, and that is sometimes forgetting what I have dreamed and what I have experienced.
Interesting. I found an article today. because I knew we were going to be talking about this, about dream deja vu.
A dream deja vu.
It's kind of vague, but it's a new area that they're looking into where people literally are dreaming of places or dreaming of situations that then, you know, later they find out are real or they run into later on. You know, the whole world of dreams is another long conversation. But if you think about it, there's similarities between dreams and deja vu because we may, again, in dreams, be tapping into another timeline. We may be tapping into another universe, another reality that we exist in. And it feels just as real to the brain and the body as the waking state reality does. So deja vu, this poor little trivial experience that we once just ignored, is turning out to be a very important, I think, indicator that there's something in our brains, there's something in the environment. It works together, physiological and environmental, that when they align just right, boom, we have this very unusual, anomalous experience. And if only when we have deja vu, we could make it last longer so that we could sort of study the experiences we're having it, that would be amazing. Now, I've not been able to do that, but I've talked to people who have. They've literally been able to extend the experience so that they could kind of, you know, take notes, so to speak.
How do they do that? How do they do? I mean, I would love to be able to do that. How do they do that? How do they extend deja vu?
You know, it kills me because I can't. Because if I am having deja vu and I say to myself, I'm having deja vu, it's almost like that awareness, boom, it goes away. But I find that these are people that are like people who can lucid dream. It must take practice. It's not something I've been able to do. I think you kind of walk a fine line between being aware that you're having deja vu and allowing the left rational brain to come in and kind of shut the experience down. I've not been able to figure it out very much yet, but I've talked to people who claim that they can. Now, that may open up some great information, you know, that researchers can use, but it's just so hard to prove that any of this is A or B or C or D or E because so many people have different experiences. And again, it's not something that you can walk into a lab, say, hook me up, I'm having deja vu, you know. And if you had 10 people that did that, you'd probably get 10 different experiences.
Right, right. You know, they always say that that smell, the olfactories, are the most evocative of the senses in terms of memory, and that is certainly true in my case. And I have had a deja vu involving smells.
Yeah.
Is there a name for that?
I'm looking on the list. Now, there's already read, already heard, already tasted, already dreamed, already said. There's got to be one for smell. Already visited, already felt. I'll have to look that up. We didn't have that on our list. But you know what I read recently is that smell, you know, we think of vision and hearing as being the two predominant senses because we use them so much. Smell is the most powerful.
Yes, why is that?
The senses in evoking memory. So, for example, if you want to remember something that happened in your childhood, somebody shows you a picture of you when you were 5, sure, you're going to remember something. You might hear a song that they were playing at your birthday party. But if you smell grandma's cookies that she was baking that day, you're going to have a much clearer and a much more enduring memory. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why smell is so powerful. But I would imagine that that has to trigger deja vu as well. You smell something from, you know, just, whoa, I've been in that place before and I've smelled that smell, but it was, you know, in another lifetime and I was a Roman chariot driver. Our senses, I think, are doorways as well to some of these experiences.
I shared one of my deja vu experiences, and that term deja vu, I mean, it is such a catch-all phrase, as you've explained. It's far more complex, and we're really right in the infancy of understanding this. But can you share one of your more profound deja vu experiences, Marie, that sticks with you?
Well, I'll tell you, I've had them all my life. And so when we were writing the book, and this always happens, when we were writing the book, I had them all the time because obviously your awareness, you're more focused on it. And I would start to notice that mine, the vast majority of mine, occurred with conversations. And I would be, and as I said before, they might happen when I'm at lunch with a girlfriend or I'm talking to my son or what have you. But I would notice very distinctly that I could predict, even maybe, you know, a quarter of a second before the person said the next word, I knew what they were going to say. Now, again, I like that precognitive aspect. That opens up, again, this idea that we're in some kind of time distortion. But all of mine seem to be conversational. I have never had a deja vu in a location where I felt, oh my gosh, I've lived here before. So it's weird. You know, maybe that's more important to me because I talk a lot. I don't know. But that just was really cool for me because it's like, hey, I can predict the future. I may be doing it in kind of a trivial manner that I can predict what my friend is going to say, you know, over lunch, but it proved to me that we have the ability to see into the future, even if it's a very short distance, when we're having these experiences.
Right. This is such a universal experience. And I know over the years doing talk shows, whenever we talk about deja vu, I just throw open the lines and the calls come flooding in. Everyone,
oh, yeah.
It seems.
Yeah.
And did you get the same sort of reaction after you? I mean, this is, we're talking 5 years later now that you co-wrote the Deja Vu Enigma.
Yeah,
and
we're still getting emails and things. But we wanted to put the call out because we really wanted to include some personal stories. And we said, oh, maybe we'll get a handful. And it was just insane. And it was really hard because a lot of them kept coming in after we had already turned the book in. But what was really interesting was that, you know, maybe 70-80% of them would be the classic deja vu that we all know and love, but then you'd have those really unusual experiences of someone, you know, being on vacation in the Australian outback or in Greece or Rome and at the ruins, and, oh, I had a complete past life vision during my deja vu, and I remembered these facts, and I went home and looked it up, and everything that I looked up had actually happened, you know, thousands of years ago or what have you. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? And then we had a few people say, during deja vu, I saw myself getting into a car accident in this particular intersection. 3 weeks later, I was in the intersection. A car was coming at me through a red light. And because I had that deja vu experience, I was able to swerve and avoid it at the last second. Those are the kind of things that really got us excited. And it's like such a virgin territory that we're dealing with here because so much of the research that the scientists are doing, the medical community, they're focusing on just the traditional deja vu that can be triggered in a laboratory.
And the way that they're trying to I guess recreate deja vu or trying to induce it, pretty crude. I'm reading here, you know, they'll use hypnosis and experiments using a list of words. But another method is called caloric stimulation, and they'll squirt warm water into people's ears in order to induce deja vu. Have you ever heard of that before?
You know, I have vertigo, which if anybody has vertigo, you know it's awful. And I never knew that that was a treatment for vertigo. I'm going to have to ask my doctor. But I guess that for some reason that helps to stimulate inner ear imbalances and shift inner ear imbalances, which is what causes vertigo and motion sickness. And yeah, so it would trigger deja vu. I don't know why, but the usual typical way is to stick some electrodes on and, you know, stimulate certain parts of the brain until something lights up. And it's really interesting that that's how they found deja vu. It was always a side effect of other types of studies that they were doing, whether it was into memory or, again, the obesity study. It's like, oh, my gosh, the person's having deja vu. Well, we didn't know that was going to happen. But any of that adds to the body of information and the body of research that we have to work with. Now, though, I think we need to start focusing on the time aspects. You know, what's going on here with time? With the
I agree. I mean, it's maybe it's time we just stop thinking about, you know, what causes it and just accept it is part of who we are. It's part of reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Marie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. The Deja Vu Enigma, Marie Jones and her co-author, Larry Flaxman. We'll talk the future when Coast to Coast AM continues. Here's Rubberneckin', the remix with E, taking care of business, Elvis Presley. My name is Richard Serrett. This is Coast to Coast AM.